As we come before you, we do so asking that you might look down upon us with mercy and forgiveness for our sins and our transgressions, and pray that you might pour your Spirit out in abundance upon this gathering and each who have come to attend this night. We would lift up before you at this time our brother who will stand before us, praying that even now you'd be with him, helping him to have clarity of thought and mind and word, bringing to his remembrance scriptures and examples for us this night. We pray that you might help us, that we would put aside those cares and those concerns of life that so easily beset us, that we might focus ourselves wholly upon thy word this night and take it within our hearts and make it a part of our lives. We pray that you be with those names and those needs who we have brought before thee this day. Pray that you be with our sister who is administered to. We pray that you be with Margaret and in the affliction she has with these shingles, that you would bless her and help her to recover quickly. We pray that you be with all our missionaries who travel, who labor in your service, and guide and direct them. And we just trust this service in your watch care. And we ask and pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And when I read the announcements, I neglected to say that there was a request for prayers on behalf of Margaret. I guess she has shingles, and so that's quite painful. So if you remember her. Which? What?
In Kenya.
So she can blame Don. Don gave them to her, huh? I don't think they're contagious. Anyways, yeah, if you could remember her. And our second song will be a special.
Sorry. She told me to do that. I didn't know I was going to do it that loud.
We were having trouble with them, that's why.
Jesus is there.
shall stand at Jordan's dark river. Shadows of night are gathering above. There is a power I know will deliver.
Thank you, ladies, for that beautiful song. The hour has come that we might hear the word of the Lord. I know that our brother takes his responsibility when he occupies his time seriously and has prepared himself, and he's petitioned the Lord for what he might deliver this night. And so I ask now that you too would take a moment, prepare yourself, put aside those cares, those concerns, those thoughts that so easily enter into our minds, and focus yourself upon the time that we have here, that we might be spiritually fed in abundance this night. Give to you this evening our brother and our pastor, Bob Hedrick.
Okay. Oh, there we go. You guys thought you were going to get off easy. Wouldn't be able to hear me, and you can take a nap. I know. I do appreciate your prayers, though. It's funny, they call this the Sunday the day of rest, and it may be for Michelle, but for the rest of us, it gets kind of busy. It never fails, especially when I know that I'm going to stand here tonight, and I go home to try and collect some thoughts. I jotted some notes down this morning and before church, and I was going to go home and kind of arrange them a little bit and clean them up. And got home, and for some reason there was a big wet spot on my carpet, and the dog hadn't been inside. And so I pulled the carpet up, and sure enough, the water's coming underneath the slab. So, you know, I thought it was busy before, but I had a lot of things on my plate, but now I only got one thing on my plate tomorrow, fixing all that. But I guess it gives me an opportunity to let the Lord direct my thoughts. So I'm not over prepared. Sometimes I think we can get overly prepared and not let the Lord lead us in the way that He needs us to go. So I do appreciate your prayers tonight. I hope that you'll be able to take away something that would be profitable for you. I'd like to start today, this evening, in Ezekiel, in the 33rd chapter. Ezekiel 33rd chapter and the 13th verse. This is the Lord speaking. And he says, "When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it." Those are pretty tough words. We as humans, I'm afraid, sometimes fall into that trap. I can look at that verse and look at my life and see where maybe I didn't consciously think of, well, you know, I'm an all right guy. I can do that. But for some reason, it's always, I don't know how sin works in your life, but in my life, it's always after the fact. You know, I find myself as like, what was I doing? What was I thinking? A lot of times, apparently, I wasn't thinking. And I wonder if in our subconscious, in our innermost thoughts, that this is the thought that kind of goes through our mind that, you know, I'm okay. We see how close we can come to that sin, that temptation in our life. I'm too strong for it. I've dealt with it. Unfortunately, it rears its ugly head sometimes, and we find ourselves trapped again. I know this happens to us. I know it happens to me. I know it happens to you. I see the fruit. And I'd like to broaden that a bit, because I don't want to be too narrow-minded in this concept. I'd like to turn over to Galatians in the 5th chapter. Fifth chapter of Galatians, the 19th verse. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." That's a pretty big list. And you look at that last little bit, is that these are things that will exclude you from salvation. The only purpose that we're on this earth is to live a life to give us salvation. And these list of things will take it away. And in our humanness and in our, I don't know, pride, I guess, we say, you know, I those don't apply to me. Those are the bad ones. But you look at it closely, and some of these things are not red flags, I guess. Adultery and fornication. Well, duh. I mean, we all know those. Pornography. Sexual sins. Yeah, they will destroy us. They are not allowed in the kingdom of heaven. Uncleanness, impure desires of our heart, just the desires. Lasciviousness, having no shame or public decency. Idolatry. Idolatry. You know, we can recognize adultery. Pretty simply. We can recognize fornication pretty easily. Idolatry is sometimes something that kind of sneaks in sometimes. Idolatry is when anything comes between us and God. Anything. As simple or as Seemingly naive as it may be, if it takes our time, if it takes our energy away from what we're supposed to be doing, it's an idol. It can be a person, it can be an activity, it can be a hobby. It doesn't matter. Well, wait a minute. That's not like somebody killing somebody. No, it's not like somebody killing somebody. The effects in this life are different. But the effects in our eternal life are exactly the same. They are no different. Witchcraft. Hatred. Hatred. In that intense dislike. Hostile. Some of us have a fuse about that long. Usually I do. I get a short fuse when I smash my thumb. I don't know what it is, but pain makes me mad just like that. And I end up throwing the hammer as far as I can. I have to go and get it. But if I don't control that, that's a little thing. I smash my finger, I throw my hammer, I get mad, and I yell at the kids, and I'm jeopardizing my soul. It's no different than if I had cheated on Liza. I'm jeopardizing my soul. That's how serious it is. And it seems, I don't want there to be the difference of, and I know you guys know this, that there's no little sin. But I think in our minds sometimes we just kind of gloss that over. We go gloss over the big sins and little sins. We justify ourselves. I guess that's what we do. We justify ourselves. Variance, quarreling, struggling for superiority. I'm in charge. No, I'm in charge. Hey, anybody wants to be in charge, they can have it. It's a lot of work. Emulations, resentfulness, wrath. That explosive anger that I just described to you when I pound my thumb. That if I'm not careful, I can do or say something that will harm my children's souls by my example, as well as my own. Strife, selfish ambition, and seeking of power. Seditions, introducing divisive teachings not supported by the Word of God. Heresies, divisions within the congregations into selfish groups or cliques, which destroy the unity of the church. Envyings, resentful dislike of another person who has something that one desires. Murders, obviously we know what that is, drunkenness. Revelings, partying, having a good old time. Yeah, but it's not like I'm killing somebody. Yeah, it is. You're killing yourself. You're killing your soul. And I feel a responsibility as a minister to say, do you understand what you're doing? That there are no little sins. That God has called us not to be a little bit better than the rest of the world. He's called us to perfection. Spiritual maturity that Glenn preached about a few weeks ago. Being the examples and being the salt of this world. You know, I think about that, you know, with Sodom and Gomorrah, how he wouldn't destroy the city if there were just 10 people there. And then maybe we're like that little small remnant, but that's why he hasn't destroyed our country. Maybe it's because he has more work for us to do. Maybe it's because of these things that are going on Iraq and Afghanistan and Khuzestan and Wazistan and whatever is going on, that, you know, that there's going to be a time that the Lord's preparing when we as Americans are free to travel there to spread the gospel, because it's part of His plan. I want you all to be there with us. I want you to be able to overcome, to help others overcome their sins. I can turn over to Ephesians in the fourth chapter. Ephesians in the fourth chapter. I'm going to start with the 17th verse. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. How well does that describe our world today? That so many of the people in the world are past that feeling. That the Lord could speak directly to them and they wouldn't hear. They've already made up their mind. They want to do what they want to do. Their understanding is darkened. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be ye have heard Him, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I guess that's what I'd like to be able to concentrate on, is that being renewed. That often we find ourselves like the waves of the sea going up and down. Yeah, I'm strong, I'm dedicated, I'm on fire, until we start getting weary, and then I'm not so much on fire, but I'm still going. And every once in a while, we need to be renewed. We need to refocus our lives and figure, wait a minute, where is this path going to lead me? What do I want to accomplish with my life? Where do I want to be when I'm 80 years old? Do I want to look back on a life of having a companion who stood beside me all the way? Do I want to have the family and have the experiences of God? Yeah, I remember that time when the Lord touched my life. And remember that time that he showed me His plan and how I was able to serve Him by going to Khuzestan or Wazistan. And that's what the goal we have in our life. Sometimes we have to refocus on that. It says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. He goes on and lists several things right there. Of changing our life. I got a question for you. When is a thief not a thief? Is a thief not a thief when he stops stealing? No, he's still a thief. He's just between jobs. He's just waiting for his next opportunity to steal something. It says right here in the 20th verse, a thief is no longer a thief when he gets a job, when he's working with his hands to to provide for himself, and to give to those that need help. That's when a thief is no longer a thief. When is a liar not a liar? When he stops telling lies? Or is he not a liar when he's telling the truth? It's a changing of their mind. It's a changing the way they think. Someone who has a problem controlling their tongue. Are they still that person just because they stop saying something? It says here that it's when you replace it with that which is good. To put on a new life. To completely change. Renew the mind. Well, how do we do that? It's going to be, in some ways, it's particular to our each individual situation. Depending on the sin. Depending on your sin. Depending on my sin. In some ways, it's going to be individual about, well, what activities are we going to stop and which activities are we going to begin? But some things are universal. And David gives an example of the first thing we need to do in Psalms in the 51st chapter. Psalms 51, and I'll start with the first verse. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Part of that is confessing. Saying, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I don't want to be this kind of person anymore. Lord, I'm coming to you filthy. Because I took those white garments that you gave me and I rolled around in the mud. I forgot my covenant. I forgot my promise. I put myself in a situation that weakened me. And all those things, we acknowledge that I did it. Nobody else made me. Nobody forced me. Nobody coerced me. Only one person to blame, and that's me. We have to recognize the need that our Lord has to hear it. He wants to hear us acknowledge our sin to Him. Confess it. Continuing on, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. That first step is going to God and acknowledging our sin and saying, please wash me. Please forgive me. These white garments that I got muddy can only be cleansed by the blood of our Savior. We have to ask Him to do it. Before he's even gotten to the point of changing renewing his mind, he had to to wash off everything that was, to wash off everything that was an abomination. And to wash it off means to get rid of it. It's running down the drain, into the sewer where it belongs. It's no longer part of our body. It's no longer on us. We have to leave it there. Can't go back to it. Have to wash it away completely and be clean. And then the 10th verse, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Not only clean my outward self, but clean the way I think. Renew my mind. We can ask to do that. Alma in the 16th chapter. It's an oft-quoted verse. Alma, the 16th chapter. I'm going to start with the 218th verse. It's on page 429. Therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that you might begin to exercise your faith into repentance, that you begin to call upon His holy name, that He would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto Him for mercy, for He is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto Him. Cry unto Him when ye are in your fields. Yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto Him in your houses. Yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto Him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto Him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto Him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets and your secret places. And in your wilderness, yea, when you do not cry out into the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto Him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those that are around you. Those of you that have a few years of experience with life, ask yourselves, how different is your day when you start with prayer? Is it different? Yeah. When you take a few, you know, and I have to admit, I'm the worst about this. The alarm goes off. The first thing I do is try and, well, find the alarm, turn it off, find the coffee pot, find my clothes, find the keys, and I'm out the door. And then sometime between the car and getting to work, I wake up. That's a terrible way to start a day. And some days, my days reflect that. That's something that I fail at. But those of you who have experienced taking a few moments just to get right with God, just to spend a few minutes visiting with Him. You know, the song says, "Ere you left your room this morning." How much difference does that make in our life? In our attitudes? In our attitudes about everything? And when our attitude's better, guess what? The people around us, for some reason, their attitude's better. It's funny how when you walk around with a scowl, you get a scowl back. And you walk around with a smile, and you either get a smile back or you get kind of a curious, like, what's she smiling about? But it sure changes your whole day. Completely. Hopping over to page 431, the 237th verse, he continues on. And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that ye should remember these things, that ye should work out your salvation with fear before God, that ye should no more deny the coming of Christ, that ye can contend no more against the Holy Ghost, but that ye receive it and take upon you the name of Christ, that ye humble yourselves even to the dust, and worship God in whatsoever place you may be in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. That doesn't mean just coming to church. That means living it. That means affecting the way we think, the way we act, the things we say, everything. And that you live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and blessings which He doth bestow upon you. Yea, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, that ye may not be led away by the temptation of the devil, that he may not overpower you, that ye may not become his subject at the last day. For behold, he rewardeth you no good thing. Remember that whole list of things we talked about, and you know, some of those things apply to me. I'm sure that as the natural part of you, those things apply to you. We have every right to pray against the power of the devil. We have every right to ask God to take away the temptation, but give us strength over that temptation, that you do not be led away by it, that you can resist it. You have every right to ask for that strength. It's a tool that you can use. And when you're looking for that temptation, it doesn't sneak up on you. When you're looking for what's going to trip you up, for that rock, that stick, or whatever is in the path, you see it because you're watchful. Back in Psalms in the first chapter, another thing we can do to renew our mind. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." That first verse, there are places we cannot go if we truly desire to be clean. If we don't want to get dirty, don't go play in the mud. It says, "Blessed is that man that can avoid those places and those temptations." Avoid the people if necessary. Remember, you're in a battle for your soul. Do whatever you have to do to overcome. But his delight in the law is the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditate. Meditate doesn't mean you sit there with your fingers together and your eyes closed and your legs crossed. I can't cross my legs, so don't ask me to do it. And going, "Oh." That's not meditation. Well, it's a different kind of meditation. Meditate on the word, on the law. Think about it. Consider it. Over in 2 Nephi, Nephi uses a different word. The third chapter of 2 Nephi, on the 92nd verse, third chapter, page 92, 28th verse. And upon these, he's talking about the plates that he's got with him, that he's writing the scriptures on. It says, "Upon these I write the things of my soul, and many of the scriptures which are engraven upon the plates of brass. For my soul delighteth in the scriptures, and my heart pondereth them." Ponder. The word ponder means, it comes from the word pound. Give it some weight. Give it some serious consideration. Think about it. "My heart pondereth them and writeth them for the learning and the profit of my children. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard." That means actually being active in our thoughts. reading the scripture and seeing, well, how does that apply to me? How is that applying in my life? It means if you're reading in the Bible, you look up the words in the Greek and the Hebrew if necessary. Look up the words in the dictionary. Put the effort out. Those of you that have tried beginning your day in prayer, how many of you have taken some time during the day just to read a few scriptures? A chapter. And truly ponder them. Think about them. How does this apply to me? What's the Lord trying to show me in these scriptures? Remember, these things are for our eternal life. These are the things that are going to tell us what we're supposed to do. They deserve to be pondered. They deserve to be given that weight. To be given the effort. Over in 3 Nephi, it's a commandment of our Savior. The 8th chapter of 3 Nephi, page 647, in the 3rd verse says, this is Christ speaking, "Therefore, go ye unto your homes and ponder upon the things which I have said, and ask of the Father in my name, that ye may understand. Prepare your minds for the morrow, and I will come unto you again." That's Christ speaking, saying, think about what I told you. Think about the things that are life. And ask the Father to help you understand. We have a right to ask for that. Saying, Lord, I don't understand this scripture. We have a right to pray for it. Remember, our Savior, our Lord, does not desire our destruction. He will hold our hand the whole way, but we have to walk. That every effort that we make, He makes. He rewards and strengthens. Later in there in the 8th chapter of 3 Nephi, on page 652, once again, it's the words of Christ talking. 53rd verse says, "And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you, and ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not." What benefits do you get from coming to church? Is it the apple pie at lunch? That's one of them. But you have the opportunity to visit with people, with human beings who have had experiences in their life that are in the same path that you are, who are human, who've made mistakes and hopefully learned from them. You have the opportunity to at least hear the word preached. You have the opportunity to study. You have the opportunity to partake of the sacrament. To remember your covenant. You have the opportunity to sing songs. Those songs that can speak right from our heart. That can get us thinking the right way. Get our feet back on the ground. We get to listen to testimonies of our brothers and sisters that strengthen our faith. We can encourage other people. We can be encouraged. We can pray for each other. That's what church is. We make a covenant. We don't make our covenant to the church. We make our covenant to Jesus Christ. The church is just the way that the Lord has prepared to feed us from time to time. A way to remind us and to do just this, to renew ourselves. When we get so busy with the world and with our cares, we can say, it really doesn't matter that I have water bubbling out from underneath my slab. It'll get fixed. Somehow, 100 years from now, it's not going to make a bit of difference. What will matter is how I've lived my life. What will matter is are the decisions that I've made. What will matter is the actions that I've taken because of the way I'm thinking. And if I'm not thinking right, my actions won't be right. We think it, then we do it. Turning back to Ezekiel. Those of you who are following along may have noticed I didn't read the whole thing. I'm going to now. Because I don't want to leave you hopeless. 33rd chapter of Ezekiel in the 11th verse. Says, saying to them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The Lord didn't create us to destroy us, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. But as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. If he's been renewed, where he's not just ceased doing the evil, but restored it, changed the way he thought, gave back what he stole, washed his garments, started doing the things he was supposed to be doing, he shall not die. None of his sins which he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. Have we sinned? I have. But does being forgiven of them mean it never happened? None of his sins which he hath committed. No, he committed them. It's in the history. Nothing can be done about it. It says none of them will be mentioned. When we're standing before our master to be judged, he's not going to bring him up. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. The people of Israel are saying, yeah, but I'm a good guy. Just because I do one little thing doesn't outweigh that. Lord's not fair. Lord's saying, yeah, I'm fair. You're the ones that aren't. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you, every one, after his ways. That's where we're all going to be. Yeah, sometimes I find myself being both those individuals. Sometimes I look at my life and say, you know, I'm truly being honest with myself, saying, yeah, I thought I was righteous. I thought I was doing better. And I look at myself saying, I'm right back where I was. And everything that has happened, the good that I've done is not remembered. But I have hope in the promises that all things are possible through our Savior. And that I can approach Him and renew my mind and be that wicked that say, yeah, that was me. But I've changed. I've turned from my wickedness and I've sought to restore the pledge, my covenant. That's my hope for you. That we can overcome the sins in our life. Because we're not through being tempted until we die physically. But we still have this life to live. And this example to set before others. God's still writing down everything we're doing as we're going through life. And it's His desires for us that we make the right choices. It's His desires for us to have eternal life. And He will help us do that. Of that I have confidence. And my prayer is that you will be able to. My prayer is that I will be able to. And I pray that I will be able to help in any way I can you. And I thank you for your time.
We will close this evening's service with the use of number 245, Walk in the Light, 245. And if you'd stand as we sing, please. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for this time that we've had to spend here, for the services that we've enjoyed this day, and the message that we received this night. We do pray that you would help us, that we be always mindful to approach not only every day, but everything we do in life with prayer, and pray that you'd help us to recognize those areas in life where we have weaknesses and we succumb to temptation, that you'd strengthen us and guide and direct us in all things. Help us that we might always be mindful to strive for righteousness, and pray that as we would depart from this gathering, that you would go with us each, and wherever our responsibilities of life carry us, the workplace or school within the home, we pray that you'd be with us and watch over us till we could once again assemble before thee. Pray that you would be with those names, those needs that we brought before thee this day. And for these things we do give thanks, and we do ask and pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.